In this age of decadence, lack of direction and purpose, God has raised seven to raise models of integrity and power. Models that will rise above the limit of their birth, backgrounds and circumstances to dimensions beyond their imagination. Come, let God show you how the vehicle of grace can take you from where you are to where He has ordained you to be. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching and the teaching of a word of life. Join God's choice servant for the world of His grace.
Quickly, I want to place on record this morning. A man in honor that does not know it, then he's a fool. This honor that I stand before you today was placed on me by the one that God has committed this commission into His hand. The one that God has committed you into His hands to pastor, to shepherd you, and to present you before Him blameless. This morning, I want us together to celebrate my father, our lead pastor. Thank you, sir, for this privilege. Thank you. The Lord caused your voice to be heard in the nations greater than it has been heard before. Amen. Quickly, this month, we're looking at defended. The theme for the month is defended. And this was taken from Acts chapter 7, verse 9. But I want us to read Acts chapter 7, 9 and 10. My topic of emphasis under this theme will be practicing the presence of God. Practicing the presence of God. The Patras moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. God was with him. From this very verse, that's verse 9, a people moved against Joseph. They envied Joseph and moved against him. But the very important statement in this verse, it's not the people that moved against him. It is not the magnitude of the problem that was facing Joseph by the moving of this man. No. The troubles were not anything compared to that, to he who was with Joseph. He said, but God was with him. There was a presence that was with Joseph. And today, the first lesson I want us to pick from here, it is not the troubles that you face that matters. It is not the troubles that confront you that is of any importance at all, but He who is with you. It is He who was with Joseph that made the difference. Verse 10 said, in verse 10, God delivered Joseph and delivered him out of all his afflictions. All means all, without an exception, and gave him favor and wisdom. And he caused Pharaoh to make him governor over the land. As a result of the presence of God that was with Joseph, deliverance came, favor came, wisdom came, promotion came. It is not the troubles, no. The honest truth is the trouble are irrelevant. It is only relevant if he who is on your side is not God. If the presence that is with you is not God, then the trouble is relevant. Joseph was defended. The beauty of the theme, when I got it, it's not that God will defend us. Defended. The honest truth is that you are defended. It is not, see, 2025 is not when you get there that God will be thinking about your defense. No, sir. No, ma. It's a given. It's a given. If you are a child of God, it's a given. If you are not born again, it is not a given. But if you are saved, it is a given. Quickly. This same Joseph, when God was about to turn things around for him, God decided, he was in prison. He gave a dream to a man in authority that has power over Potiphar, who threw him in the prison. The man woke up and he was troubled by the dream. Why? Because God wants to save Joseph. He decided to move on the earth to cause 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine to come. Just because he intended to save Joseph, not only to save him out of the prison, but to bring him into a position. He caused 7 years of plenty to come upon the earth. And after that, there will be another 7 years of famine. And they needed a man who will govern their affairs, that in those days of famine, none will be in want. And when God moved, what was Joseph doing in the prison? He interpreted dreams. Two men came in, interpreted the dream of the first one, interpreted the dream of the second one. He's in trouble, but he was busy doing what his father's business is. They were all in prison. You interpreted the dream of a man. You will die. You will go back to your position. It came to pass. 2 good years passed. Nobody remembered him. The man who returned back did not mention him to Pharaoh. Joseph, when they were leaving, Joseph said, "Remember me. Remember that I'm in this house." But do you know the question is if he had remembered Joseph within that 2 years, the best that will have happened to Joseph will be that Potiphar will intervene. Pharaoh will intervene. Bring out Joseph from the prison. At best, send him back to his father. Your trouble is God designed to get you to his intended place for you. The troubles you go through is an indication of where God is taking you to. Understand this. And do not be worried and troubled. We lose out more when we are troubled of the things we go through. If we stay focused on He, whose presence we carry. But when the time came, Joseph was brought out. He became governor over Potiphar. Even Potiphar needed food from his hands. Without his permission, Potiphar wouldn't eat. But there is no record in the scripture that Joseph winched hot Potiphar. Why? The difference is the presence. Now, let's look at the presence of God. I'll look at the presence of God, and then we will talk on practicing the presence quickly. The presence of God. However you define, you've decided to define it, may not really matter so much. But I want us to use scripture to look at it so that we can understand it deeper. Sometimes examples are better. Sometimes examples are the best way to, cause understanding to be. Let's look at the story of Moses in Exodus 13 to 16. Exodus 33 to 16. He says, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. Show me now thy way that I may know you. Now the prayer of Moses is, show me thy way that I may know you. Okay, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider this nation is thy people. You can move ahead. And he said, God answering Joseph, sorry, Moses. God answering Moses said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Moses' prayer is, show me thy way that I may know you. God says, the answer to this question is presence. My presence will go with you. Hold on. Moses has seen strange miracles before now. The Red Sea have divided before now. 10 dangerous, trembling kind of miracles had taken place in Egypt before now. Through the rods in his hand, he has seen different miracles. Rod had become serpents and swallowed other serpents. Moses has seen the burning bush. He has seen power in display in strange dimension, power in expression. He has seen it. But yet, this is Moses. After all this, his heart cry unto God is, show me thy way that I may know you. You could enjoy the miracles of God and yet you know him not. And yet you are not abiding in the presence. When he is answering Joseph, giving answer back to Moses rather, in this case, he said, my presence. That's the solution. He said, if you know my presence, if you abide in my presence, if you stay in my presence, you will know me. You will know my ways. You will know me. It comes naturally. It comes with it. I am standing here today, standing right here. I came with my hands. I came with the suit I'm wearing. It's a given because I am standing here. If I dwell in the presence, see, it's a given that you will know him. Move on. Quickly, please. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Something crossed my mind now. It's like there's a connection of grace and his presence. One of the evidence that you have found grace is his presence. One of the evidence that you have found grace is the presence of God. That I and thy people have found grace in thy sight, is it not in that thou goest with us, so shall we be separated. The means by which you will be separated in 2025 is his presence. See, it will separate you from others. No calamity that is coming upon the earth in 2024 will be able to tamper with your rest. If you dwell in the presence, if that's where you abide, it's a given. It's when he said, my presence will go with you and you will find rest. When that presence is with you, rest will surely come. He said, by this, so shall we be separated, and I and thy people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Please, let's move on one more. Okay. This is the demonstration of the presence that God, when Moses asked for to know God, all the ways of God that he may know him, God gave him presence. See, God's highest is not power, but presence. God's highest is not power, but presence. I spoke of Moses earlier. He has seen power. The rest, I have not seen a man afterward on the earth, where since the day I live, who had divided the sea. That's a demonstration of power. But yet, it's not God's highest. Because do you know why? The power comes with the presence. If I'm standing in the presence of the lead pastor in his office right now, the power over this commission is in his hand, as in times of administrations and all the rest. What he says, that power comes with him anywhere he shows up. That power is in him. So he can't make use of it with his, because it comes with it. So he is there. The power is there with him. It's not that he needs to pick the power somewhere else to make use of. So the power comes with the presence. There is no man who is a man of God's presence that the power of God will not flow effortlessly. I remember an example of the lead pastor right now. There is a story he used to tell. Now, when he left, I think between when he left secondary school and when he got into the higher institution, he got born again and he began to pray over, most read the Bible and pray at night. He told us about the story that one day, that was a constant thing he did for several months. One day he was standing ushering, and somebody came in. As he greeted and shook the hand, the person went. Until there was a flow of power from him to the person. And then the person was taken off. There was a flow of power. When he was praying, when he was studying, he was enjoying God's presence. He wasn't there because he wanted power. No, that was not what he was seeking for. He was seeking God. But the power came with that presence. So he didn't know. He said he was surprised too. Like everybody was surprised around him. Why? Because he dwelt in the presence. When he got there at that time, something flowed out of him. And that's simply the power. If you dwell in God's presence, the power will be natural. So, most times what we are seeking our prayer for is, God, give me bread. Give me this demonstration of the power to get my daily needs met. But you see, God is saying the best. It is part of his plan. Nothing wrong about it. But it's not God's best for us. The best is that we have his presence. And the power to meet all those needs will flow naturally. Instead of you struggling to have the needs, the need will be met. As the need shows up, there will be an answer. That's a definition of rest. Then I am in a need. God help me. God help me. If you don't help me, no way out. That's a bit of a shift. That is also God's plan. It's not against scripture to ask God for your needs to be met. No, sir. But you see, if your purpose is God, if you pursue God, he will pursue your welfare. He says, seek first the kingdom. Seek first God. See, most of our need, all we will need in 2024, from God's intent, he wants to add it to our lives. It's an add-on. It's not the main. It's an add-on. If that is what flows, it's automatic. Those things, if I seek God, God will ensure that those things are added. They are additions added. My prayer and my desire this morning is that we desire for a shift in our thought. See, the Bible is simple. It produces to you according to your belief upon it. How you believe the Bible is how it produces most times. If I can read a scripture, for example, and I see Jesus healing the woman with the issue of blood, and I'm saying, God, heal my issue. That's the way it's authentic. I can choose to be the Jesus in that same verse, dispensing the power of God. I can choose to be the one receiving the power of God. I can decide to be the Jesus giving the power. It's written there. It's a statement. It's just a verse of scripture. How you meditate and think about it will be the power that flows through you. How you get it. If you are seeing yourself, the economy is bad. There's no definition. S. Since I was born, I have not seen this kind. That's the truth. Yes. But you can choose to say, the economy is bad. How are we going to do it? God provide for my needs. God provide for my needs. God is my need. Oh God, I need food. Oh God, I need school fees. But however, I could say, the Bible tells me, it says, I have been young. Now I am getting old. I have never seen. I have never seen. The word is never seen. The righteous, no, his seed begging for bread. I can't beg for bread. It doesn't matter what it is in the economy. It is, you see, you could have, yesterday you may have begged somebody for bread. That is not what is important. If you believe this right, your situation will align with this truth. It's a matter of time. If you believe this and stand by, it doesn't matter your state right now. That yet, this is what the scripture says, but this is what I am believing. I am experiencing. But you see, if you define the Bible by that experience of yours, and say, I pray God did not answer me. Let me go on. And you may go on begging because you believed. It's sometimes they are just a shift in our thought, how we think the Bible. How we think the things God has told us. Just a little shift in our thought. Sometimes we are unconscious about it because that's the way we were brought up. It's never enough. Manage. Unconsciously, you demonstrate manage. Or sometimes unconsciously, you are demonstrating it. Then you will read something in the Bible that is contrary to that. You will weigh it aside. You will put it aside. You will just pass it by. It doesn't strike any chord because there is a rooted system within us at times as a result of our upbringing. Or sometimes we just our experiences. However, what the Bible wants from us is an adjustment to, is a kingdom. This Christianity is not a religion. It's a, see, Jesus came and he was talking about the kingdom. In every kingdom, in every nation, there is a way. There is a way, it is, there is a constitution. There is a way things run in those countries. See, we grew up on this earth. We have been so conscious of the things of the earth that when we got born again, many of us have not labored to renew our mind to the kingdom that we now belong to. There is a way they think in that kingdom. There is a way. See, the Bible you see and I see is God's thoughts. It's how God thinks. Is the things that are available for you. Is the trajectory of your life. The Bible is the trajectory of your life. Is the trajectory of my life. What I pick out of it and choose to accept as true to me. Anyway, see, there's assent. There's what is called mental assent. Can God do it? Everybody here will shout yes. But if I have to check everybody's heart one by one, can God do it for you in that situation? You will see doubt across board. But we all believe God has power. This problem, the presence we solve it. Okay. To make it simple, so that we understand what this presence, Holy Spirit. Jesus said something. This presence is not, you already have it. You already have it. If you are born again, you already have it. The presence of God, the presence of Jesus, the presence of the Holy Spirit is one and the same thing we are talking about. However, you, if you are born again and you have received Jesus into your heart, you got the Holy Spirit in you. Even if you have not even yet filled with the Holy Spirit coming upon you. The point is that it's the Holy Spirit that work on you to be saved. And so when you take Jesus in, your heart, your spirit, and that of Jesus becomes one. So when you now receive the Holy Spirit, it comes upon you. Is a spirit upon. There is a spirit within, which is you receive at salvation. That same Holy Spirit, it comes upon you when it comes upon you, like it came upon. If I ask every one of us now, can you point to where the 12 disciples got born again? But we can all remember how they were filled with the Holy Spirit. But you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit without being born again. So they were born again. Then there was a filling. Now, the one that comes upon you is for service. So I just try to make this clarity that you may understand one thing. If you are born again and you have not even received the Holy Spirit in the form of He coming upon you, speaking in tongues, there is an the Holy Spirit of God within you. If you have that, I grew up in the Orthodox. Most and the days I was growing up, they didn't, this speaking in tongue is babu in most quarters. But I could see the expression of the Holy Spirit in them. Why? Because they have the Holy Spirit within. And so He also helped them. He teaches them. But you see, to be effective in doing that which you are called to do, everybody has something upon his life to do. You can't, because that's for service. That's for service. The Holy Spirit upon is for service. The one within is within. Now, I need to be fast. That's why I am trying to, I'm not quoting the scripture to explain. But let's look at John chapter 16, 14, 16 here. And I, Jesus was speaking. If you read a little bit before there, you'll get it. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter. He says that He may abide with you forever. He will give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. So, if you are born again, the Holy Spirit abides with you forever. Good. Now, to say this comforter, in case you are doubting this comforter is not the Holy Ghost, verse 26, he said, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. So the comforter here is the Holy Ghost. So you can put verse 16 as saying, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, the Holy Ghost, and He shall abide with you. If you are born again, you have it. So it is now your duty of what? Doing what I call practicing the presence. So another scripture to help this is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5b. Just put verse 5. Then you can help me search after this. Help me search for the TPT. That's the Passion Translation of this same verse. Well, I'm interested in the B. We say, okay, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. God is with you. And He said, I, God, said, the monarch of the universe said, the one who created the ends of the earth said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. It is not, there is nothing under heaven that can make God leave you, nor forsake you. If you sin, God is not that He leaves you, abandon you to yourself. He is quickening your mind that you might come back to the Father, that you may ask for forgiveness. He has. So even sin, He made provision to take care of it. So nothing under heaven nothing, absolutely nothing you will ever do or be in, no situation, no how bad it is, that God will leave you nor forsake you. Please, if you have the TPT, if not, let me read it from here. He said, don't be obsessed with money, but live content with what you have. Now, this is my emphasis. He said, for you always have God's presence. 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 That's the emphasis. You always. Now, this presence will put you over anything. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, he speaks about how this same spirit will put us over everything. Over everything. Yeah, say, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The one in you, the Holy Spirit we spoke about just now, is in you. He is the greater one. He will put you over anything that the devil can throw at you. He will put you over temptations. He will put you over that health challenges. He will put you over that struggle. He will put you over lack. He will put you over anything. There is nothing that can overcome you in this world. Why? Because the greater one lives in you. The presence of God. The greater one lives in you. You carry that presence. But you see, now, the next few minutes is, I want to stress on practicing this presence. You can have this presence, the monarch of the universe dwelling in you, and yet he dwells in heavens. Yet he dwells in everyone. He's in me, he's in you at the same time. Without any reduced capacity, the Holy Spirit, this presence of God, dwells in you. He dwells in me at the same time. He is also everywhere at the same time. He is also in every time. In every time at the same time. He is in yesterday at the same time in today, at the same time in tomorrow. He is, that's the one that dwells in you. The very one whose presence you carry right now as I speak, he is the one who created the ends of the earth. Everything, even science, is still catching up to what God did thousands of years ago. That's the one that dwells in you. Every miracle you have read in the scriptures or you have heard performed by the set man, by any man of God you have ever seen, he was done by this same one. The worst of situation you can ever think of, the one who solved it is the one I'm about to tell you. If you practice abiding in him, if you practice his presence, it will make a difference. All right. I will start the reverse as I intended, because the other things, a few of the things I will have mentioned, when I came in also, I heard our father talking around them, which for me was a confirmation that I was aligned to what I believe God will have me, you know, talked about today. I want to start from the one I will have used last, so that I won't do this justice to you if I didn't finish what I had prepared. The first one I want to talk about, that's practicing the presence of God, is practicing awareness. Practicing awareness. practicing awareness. The difference in Joseph's life was the presence. So in 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 15 to 17, this practicing awareness, you all got the Holy Spirit. So how do I practice awareness? Let's look at it from the story in 2 Kings chapter 6, 15 to 17. I read, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And Elisha replied, and he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. A city came against Israel, and they surrounded the city of Israel. The servant of Elisha went out and saw in the morning, saw the city surrounded. And he came back and screamed, Alas, my master, what shall we do? The master said something. He said, Fear not, one. He said, For they that be with us are more than be with them. They that be with us is more than the chariots, horses. That are those, or the things that were with them. But the things with Elijah are more. Then Elijah went further. Please, 17. And say, And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. These are chariots of fire. The one surrounding the city had no fire. All around, hear the last one, around about Elisha. The city was surrounded in verse 15. Elisha said that they that be with us, which is him and his servant, are more. But when the eyes of the servant was open, it was only Elijah that the chariots and the horses surrounded. Those are three steps I want us to just look into. The city was surrounded. The servant had no awareness. Just before I moved there, before his eyes was open, were the chariots and the horses of fire there? Yes, they were there. When his eyes were open, they were there. When the eyes was closed back, when you mean eyes open here, you mean spiritual eyes. So when the spiritual eye or vision was ended, the horses and the chariots were there. But only Elisha was aware of this presence of they that were with him. The servant was not aware. And so, what makes the difference? When his own eyes was open, it was only Elijah that was surrounded. The difference is the awareness. Elisha was aware that he was defended, that he's protected, that God will not forsake him nor leave him, that God will not leave him unprotected, no matter the situation. So when the city was surrounded, he was not as troubled as the one that had no awareness. What is the connection of what I'm bringing? Can you live in the awareness that God is with you? Anywhere you go, under any circumstances, can you live in this awareness that God is with you? It makes the difference how the power that resides in you operates. It makes the difference how the greater one in your inside operates. If you don't know he can do this, he is there for you, he won't. God is not one that bulldozes his way. See, sometimes we labor in prayer much more than we should. There are things that should even get to the place of prayer to begin to labor, God, help me out. It could have been taken care if you dwell in the presence. What do I mean? I am trying to explain something simple. Be conscious in your daily activity that God is with you. Be conscious. Find several movements in your day. Thank you, Jesus, because I know you are with me right now. I can't be troubled. I have my peace secure. Thank you, Jesus. It may look simple, but because it's an... Okay, are you aware that angels are around you? Right now, there are more angels in this hall than human beings. But you see, if you don't live in that consciousness that there are angels all around you, they that be with us are more than they that are with them. The greater one. He say, the Bible says he's greater, talking about he's greater than them that is in the world. See, if you live in that consciousness, some things won't get to you. Because of that awareness of God dwelling within you, that consciousness, interact with him. It will be more active. It will be more, you will activate it, better word. The power and all that that is resident within you will be more functional. See, there is nothing that is facing you that the power inside you. The Holy Ghost came into you with all his power. He didn't reduce his power when he came into you. Whether you have read the Bible, the last time you read it was December 31st, 2023. It doesn't mean the Holy Spirit is right there inside you. I am trying to. Reading the Bible is exceptionally important. But do you know, it's one of the points actually I wanted to mention. But what I'm trying to make you understand is that those things, all of those things helps us. But even when you are not in that state, if you know this truth that God will never leave me nor forsake me, you may have fallen short. You may have defect in even how you should do. But you see, if you live in the consciousness of the presence that is within you, the presence of God, many troubles will end before you ever get to know. As we speak right now, we live in the presence of angels. Hebrews talk about innumerable companies of angels. That's where we dwell. They are all around us. But if I know that in time and in space, angels are working for me, creating opportunity for me all around, it's your consciousness. You can walk into your office as you sit down and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. I know right here today, angels are everywhere working for my good. Working for my good. I'm grateful for this privilege. It's a privilege you have. When you live in that consciousness, the angels around you will be active. Accident is coming. They could take care of it. You may not know. It is called awareness. Is there a trouble you are going through right now? If you could be aware of what God says about that trouble and make it your consciousness. It's not. See, the way this Bible works, if you really look at it and we think about, sometimes we think God is lying. Honestly. Because he will say something so simple. He say, okay, to them that believe in his name, he gave them, they say they shall cast out devil. The first thing to a believer, go and read it. It's last, Jesus in Mark 16, last statement. He says, go and preach the gospel. He said, to them that believe, they shall be saved. To them who believe not, they shall be condemned. He said, now, to them who believe in my name, if you believe in my name, you will cast out devil. It's not say after you have prayed a long time, you'll be able to cast out devil. God's view of the devil is not the same as sometimes how we view the devil. Therefore, we magnify the devil and we weaken our position, our own ability. If you will tell, God will tell a believer, someone who just got born again today, he say, the things that will operate in your life now, one, you will cast out devil. He say, you will lay hands on the sick, you will be healed. Why not us believe it as true? Just take it literal. Literal. He says it, I choose it. I choose to believe. And simply make it your consciousness. You can be walking and say, Lord, I thank you. Because when I lay hands on the sick, they recover. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When I meet the devil, I cast them out of my way. In anybody, I check them out of that. Even you are not boasting. If God said it, rather God is a liar. That he said it about me. I choose to believe it. That is the trajectory of my own life. My problem is not the trajectory of my life. The devil will attack me. It's inevitable. As long as you live on earth, the devil will come against you. But you have gotten already the things. Awareness. Practicing awareness. Be aware of the things. Be aware of the things. Be aware of the things. The other point will be, just to give it, will have been practicing. I've actually combined it with the first one so that I could explain. It's practicing taking God at his word. Then the last one, practicing prayer. Those are the 3 points I would have wanted. But I want us to rise here. I end with an experience of mine, this awareness. And for a while, I started saying some things about myself that nothing by any means hurts me. Nothing by any means hurts me. Nothing by any means. It was something I was conscious of, and I kept saying it every round. At any time, as it pumped up in my heart, I just say it. I was aware, thank you, Lord Jesus, that nothing by any means hurts me. And one day, I came to the city of Ibadan in April, and I was just putting my back to the wall, and a scorpion stung me. Bye. My hand went there quickly, hit it. Luckily, I got it, and it dropped on the ground. I saw it, I picked it. It was down in the night, late into the night. I walked into the house, and it was only my mom that was at home. So I showed her. I said, it is not scorpion, and said, yes. I said, man, this pain is somehow. I said, yeah. And my mom started panicking. Let's go to the hospital. But as I turned to go, I said, nothing by any means will hurt me. Suddenly, it's God's word. I choose to believe it. As told my mom, I said, go in. Don't worry. You can go and sleep. She said, no, she's not sleeping. And I really, I said, no, go in and sleep. She said, I just lay my hands on it and I just kept walking in the sitting room. Nothing by any means will hurt me. Nothing by any means will hurt me. Not scorpion, nothing. And 30 minutes thereabout, or a little more, the pain kept going down and gradually the pain was gone. I walked in, slept. Till today, I take no injection, nothing. The pain went. Awareness of what you carry. Awareness of what you carry. Awareness of what you carry. Can you, where you are seated, can you just close your eyes and say, Lord Jesus, help me. Help me to live in the awareness of your presence. Help me to live in the awareness of your presence. Help me to daily consciously be aware of things you have done for me. Consciously the things you have. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to pray. If you are sick in your body, as you bow your head, one of the things the scripture says, when I lay my hands on the sick, they will recover. I can't lay hands. If you believe God, I just told you how simple you can. It's as simple as that. If you have been saved, you can be here. Because the same sacrifice that caused your salvation is the same sacrifice that healed. So right now, as you lay your hands on that part, just tell God you want to be healed. I want this thing checked out now. It has no place in me. No place in me. No place in me. Father, thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Your word is internal. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Every foul spirit of disease and sickness, I command you, leave this body now in the name of Jesus. I decree you heal. I command every sickness be gone from them in the name of Jesus. The scripture says, I will lay my hands. So I lay my hands over this congregation. Anyone sick, be healed. Recover now in the name of Jesus. Recover now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. We'll honor you. For in Jesus' mightless name, we pray.
You have just listened to The World of His Grace through God's Choice Servant. We believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join God's Choice Servant in life-changing services at the Life Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samunda Jue Road, Ibadan. Every Sunday service, 7:30 a.m. Lighthouse International Christian Center, where grace lived. God bless you. Real good.